want them honey.
I'm Jesse DeGroot, the marketing representative for the Mack Hayden Theater in Chatham, New York, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Saturday, May 1st, tune in the 8th annual Reveille broadcast on WGXC. It's 25 hours following the sunrise around the earth and listening to the dawn chorus at places throughout the world. The broadcast starts at midnight Eastern Time, starting in London, heading across the Atlantic and picking up sounds from Wave Farm in the 5 a.m. hour. Then you hear daybreak across the United States, across the Pacific Ocean, into Asia, Africa, Europe, and back in London at midnight. Tune in all day, May 1st, from midnight to midnight, to Reveille on the radio at WGXC.org and go to soundtent.org for more information about this broadcast.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Accra, Hudson, Catskill.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Lena, and I am from Hudson.
And my name is Mashuda. I am 18 years old.
I'm 15, and I'm also from Hudson, Emma, and I'm 7 years old.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate. Bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. Hooray. So why don't we start off with Mashuda?
I'm going to share a poem today. So this is the poem by Emily Dickinson. As you know, she's one of the very famous poet in America. So hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and signs the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heart. And sore must be the storm that could abash the light bird that kept so many worn. I have heard it in the chillest land and the strangest sea, yet never in extremity. It asked a crumb of me, Emily Dickinson. Yeah, so that's the poem.
What made you choose that poem?
In college, like, we were doing an assignment where, like, we have to choose a quote that speaks to us. And I chose, like, I was just researching my quote. And so, like, we have to do a metaphor. And, like, I came up with this poem. Like, the metaphor is, like, hope is a thing with feathers. So, like, feathers is the metaphor of hope. Like, hope is, like, a delicate. So, like, and then I had to research, like, why the poet Emily Dickinson. And then, like, she wrote this poem because, like, in a sense that she's hoping her lover to love her, and it never happens. And so, like, even though she's a really good poet, like, it was interesting that she never, like, had, you know, a happy life. So all of her poems reflect what's, like, the events that happening in her lives. So it's like when I first read it, I was just like, oh, it's hope. It's about, but like when I actually researched her, I understood the deep meaning in that poem. And I don't know if I should say the meaning because like, I don't want to spoil it for the readers. So it's like one of the, don't judge a book by its cover. I judged that poem first. I was like, okay, that's hope. But then it was a requirement that I have to research the poet or the author or an activist. And I researched that author and it was just like, it was a whole different meaning to it. And yeah, it was really interesting. And I love her more now as a poet because like that's, and it's, it has a very deep meaning to it. So yeah.
It's a really, really nice book, sis.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for sharing. I'm wondering, Lena and Fatia, do you have a favorite poem or favorite poet?
Yes, I do. It's the rain, rain, go away, come on back, on, come on back another day. Little angel wants to play that.
I don't think I've ever heard the angel part.
But I did. It's, yeah. It's like an assignment that my like teacher gave me.
That's nice. Yeah, I know rain, rain, go away, come again another day. But I didn't know the next part.
But I did.
You're so
rain,
wise.
Rain, rain, little angel wants to play. It's a really fun poem.
How about you, Lena?
I don't really think that there's a poem that like I like enough. Or now that I think about it, I haven't read many poems.
There are definitely times in my life where I didn't read much poetry. And then there are times when I read a lot. I've been trying to read more in recent years. Like I try to read a couple collections of poems every year. And then I also like reading them online. I like poets.org, the Academy of American Poets, I believe it is. They do a poem a day thing where you can subscribe and get them sent to your inbox. And I don't actually do that. But they also post at least one poem a day on their social media channels. And I often read those because they're nice and short. And it's a fun way to learn about different poets. And actually, one of my favorite poets I learned about through that site, which is Ada Limón. I share her poems on the radio sometimes. So who else has something they want to share? How about Fatia?
I have a book to share. It's called You Have to Fast for 30 Days.
That's great. So this is one of your homemade books. It looks really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And is it about Ramadan?
Not exactly all. Like I just like put the code cover there so it can be a little bit interesting. And this is the other page.
Pretty. So it has a house and a flower and a tree and a sun and a cloud.
And this page is a really rainbowy flower and a rainbow. And it has a house.
Those are some beautiful colors. Was that with watercolor?
No, it was like up the paint.
Yeah, the is paint. It a watercolor paint where you dip water?
Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell from, it's very pretty.
Exactly the same paint that you gave to me.
Oh, it's from the library giveaway bags? Yeah, for all our listeners out there, every month we make some early literacy bags that have different activities and crafts and books for little kids.
Like, Mrs. Emily, I'm going to make one of the most best books and send them to the library after the virus.
Oh, that's nice. We'll look forward to that.
It's going to be a package, and it's going to be, like, full of, like, a little bit yummy treats.
Ooh.
I'm not going to tell you the treats because I don't want to spoil it. And this is a really beautiful picture. There's so many things in it, too.
Yeah. So this is a book of, like, landscapes with houses and rainbows and trees and flowers.
And next time we have radio, I have another book that is, like, a little bit, only 3 pages. They're not actually, it's actually thousands of pages. The other book has thousands of pages and more pages.
Do you know what I think would be a cool book for you to do?
Because
you love colors. I think it would be cool for you to do a book where you have a rainbow page and then you have a page for each color of the rainbow. So you have like a red page, an orange page, so on.
That's a really good idea.
I think you would be really good at that. It'd be very interesting.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to, like, put a little bit of paint there, the dots. And then I'm going to, like, yeah. And it's going to be so cool.
Yeah, that'd be a cool book for little kids, too, that are learning their colors.
Mm-hmm. Little kids that are babies. Like, not like big babies. Oh, I have an idea. I can make a book for my brother, my baby brother.
That'd be nice. I bet he'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to put a little surprise in. I'm going to pretend that I went shopping because me and my baby brother love playing shopping together.
Oh, that's very nice.
This is the last page, and then it's the end. Just to let you know, this is page 6. Before the radio started, I just wrote it quickly because I forgot to. Oh, yeah. And I forgot to, like put a poet here, a poet. Make a, like, hole and put a poet there.
One of your poems?
No, my, like, oh, I think I should put one of my poems here. And then I can, like, put a poet. Like, I forgot what. It's actually really called a little bit.
What is it, though? Can you describe it?
It's something like that has someone's picture in it.
Oh, a bio? Like an author bio?
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, that way people will know it's your book and a little bit about you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to put a poem there. Well, one of my most beautiful poems.
I have another book idea for you. So you wrote a beautiful poem that you shared last week. Mm-hmm. And what if you made a book to go with that poem? So the different lines of the poem could be accompanied by different illustrations.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I have lots of great ideas.
I'm going to make it into a really beautiful book. And I'm going to start writing my poem. Really? I just love writing poems so much. It's so fun.
Nice. I'm glad you're enjoying that.
I love writing poems. It's so much fun.
Nice. Well, thank you for sharing your picture book. So, Lena, do you have something to share today?
Yes. Yesterday, I was reading Percy Jackson again because yesterday, I had the New York State testing ELA test. And wait, what?
You said fun fact.
Yeah, it wasn't that fun.
Super fun.
It wasn't that fun because we had to, like, sit down, do a lot of stories. Mm-hmm. I didn't really like a lot of the stories.
That's too bad. But anyways, how does that connect with Percy Jackson?
So when we're done, we're allowed to, like, draw, go to sleep, go on our computers, read if we want. And so I just said, I want to read Percy Jackson. And I read Percy Jackson again, and so I'm not that far, so I'm just going to read the book description. Percy Jackson is about to be kicked out of boarding school again. Mythological monsters in Percy's Greek mythology textbook and into his life, and at worst, he's angered a few of them. Zeus's master lightning bolt has been stolen, and Percy is the prime suspect. Now, Percy and his friends have just 10 days to find and return Zeus's stolen property and bring peace to a warring Mount Olympus. But to succeed in his quest, Percy will have to do more than catch the true thief. He must come to terms with the father who abandoned him, solve the riddle of the oracle, which warns him of betrayal by a friend, and unravel a treachery more powerful than the gods themselves.
Are you enjoying it as much on the second time as you did the first time?
Yes.
Is anything about reading it different? Like, do you have a different experience reading it the second time? Like finding yourself drawn to different characters or experiencing it differently?
Reading it the second time, it kind of, some of the stuff kind of makes sense. Like in one of the first few pages, it mentioned that Percy has, like, dyslexia, ADHD, and ADD. And I remember at first, I didn't know what ADD was, but even though it was explained, but I guess I wasn't paying attention to that part. But now I know what ADD is. Also, my sister helped me find out what ADD was.
I've still never read that series, which is strange because I've had so many radio co-hosts that loved it. I'm curious if I would like it as much. I feel like I hear from a lot of teens that really like it, tweens and teens that really like those books, but I haven't heard from as many adult readers that loved it. Whereas series like Harry Potter, I feel like there's a pretty big adult fan base for that. And I read all of those as an adult. But I think that's also an interesting thing with rereading some of those big series. Like my nephew finished the Harry Potter series, I think maybe a year or two ago, and he's a tween. I wonder if he'll ever read it as a teen and like have a different experience because he's more the age of the characters, or at least in the later books. I forget how old they are when they start, but I'm sure it's a different experience depending on what age you are when you read them.
Emily, I'm pretty sure like for the teenagers, like the teenagers or like the teens and tweens are more like attracted to the movies instead of the books, I believe, because you get to like see the characters like if they were like more realistic. And I'm pretty sure it's just really popular over like with the subject of Harry Potter.
Well, I hope you're enjoying that and your new dog. How's your new dog doing?
I don't know, because my sister stole my dog and brought it to her college.
No.
Yeah, so she's thinking of coming back Saturday.
Okay, so it's just a week away at college.
Oh, no. It might be 1 more week away.
Okay. So it's like spring break for dogs in reverse.
Yeah, they're like, the thing is that it takes like 3 weeks for the dog to get used to the family or get used to the, like trying to get used to the family and their surroundings. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Cool. Hope you get to see your dog again soon.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I have a book I wanted to share that I read recently. I don't think I've talked about this on the radio. It was a really good book. It's called The Comic Book Guide to Growing Food, Step-by-Step Vegetable Gardening for Everyone. And it's by Joseph Tikhonovich and Liz Kozik did the illustrations. And so it's a graphic novel. I would say it's geared towards adults, but I think if you were a teen or tween that was really excited about gardening, that you would also be into this book, because it basically walks you through how to grow a vegetable garden from like planning and prepping to planting, troubleshooting, harvesting. So it makes it through the whole cycle. And it does it through a frame story of two neighbors, one who's a young woman who is in some kind of technology field or technology-based field, but she's like really good with technology. And then her neighbor who's retired and has a beautiful garden in his yard. And he, one day they connect because he's frustrated with his technology and she's admiring his garden. And so they sort of decide to team up, and she'll help him get more comfortable with technology and he'll help her learn how to grow vegetables on her yard. And it's just a really nice way of laying out the information because it goes through the season and sort of talks about different sort of both like cheat sheets and like kind of ideas. He keeps doing this thing, which is sort of a joke throughout the book, where he's like, the number one rule of gardening is blank. But he says that like several times throughout the book. And so she's always like, really, the number one rule? But you said the number one rule was that. And he's like, well, this one's also the number one rule. But like, I think I can probably relate to her when I first started gardening, that my dreams are much bigger than my capabilities or even my yard. So it's very easy to want to do a lot, but it suggests to start small. So, you know, start with like one garden plot. And then if you feel like you have room to expand, your capacity is enough that you can expand, then you can add another one. or do some container gardening. But yeah, I found it like a really useful resource. I'm definitely buying a copy of this book that I can keep at home because it has a lot of interesting information and it's really accessible. And the like frame story makes it fun. So it's not just reading a book on gardening. It's reading a story about someone learning how to garden. But yeah, so that's The Comic Book Guide to Growing Food, Step-by-Step Vegetable Gardening for Everyone. And we have a copy of this at the library. There's some other copies in the system. We're also part of a pilot project this year at the Hudson Area Library called the Library of Local, where we're working with a group called Lifeboats HV and an organization called Dirty Gaia and the Mid-Hudson Library System, as well as our, I call them sister libraries. They could be brother libraries too. Sibling libraries, Kingston, the Mountaintop Library in Tannersville, and the Morton Memorial Library in Rhinecliff, New York. And so the four of our libraries are all organizing a series of programs throughout the year focused on gardening and foraging and sort of sustainability around food and local food production. And then we also have these kiosks that we're developing in the libraries that have books about those topics for various ages. And we also have some seeds that people can come and pick up. So if people want to try starting either flowers or vegetables from seed this year, you can pick up some seeds at the library. We have a little selection of nice seeds.
Seeds?
Yeah, yeah. Seeds. Mm-hmm. So we have tomatoes and beans and lettuce and nasturtium, which is a really pretty flower that you can also eat. So it's fun to put in salads. And cucumber and zucchini. Those are just the ones that are coming to my head right now, but I know we're going to add some more. And then we also want to have a way for if people like buy seeds, like I just went wild and bought a lot of seeds and they won't all fit in my yard. And so rather than them go to waste, I could donate the rest of my seeds so that other people could come and pick them up. And then we also are going to have some tools that people can borrow. So if you want to get started in gardening, but you don't have the proper equipment to do so before you invest in buying like different kinds of hoes and rakes and gardening tools like that, you could borrow one from the library and try it out. But yeah, so if you want some seeds, give us a call and let us know. We can pack some up for you or you can stop by and get some.
That story is amazing.
Yeah, I think it'll be really fun. I don't often grow from seed. I often buy seedlings from garden stores or from the farmer's market. But I'm going to try doing some from seed this year. I have done flowers from seed before, and it is really fun to like plant a bunch of seeds and then you start to see the little seedlings come up. Do you all ever do any gardening?
I never did gardening before, but one time I got a seed from my teacher, Mrs. Moses. And then she gave me like a seed to press like of like a lettuce and grass that I like, yeah. But I never tried it before. I gave it to my mom. And one time we tried it out and it was so yummy. It was so delicious. Cool. And also excited to planted like that we didn't even have a shovel, so that's why we just like used our hands instead to dig a little bit.
Well, so now you might be able to borrow some equipment from the library. Maybe that'll make it easier.
And I also like water the plant every day, and then like a couple weeks later and months later it like grew so much. It was like a little bit like this tall, and then like I picked some and I like put them in the basket and I gave them to my mom, and then she washed them, then cut them, then she made it into a delicious style salad.
Nice. How about you, Lena? Do you ever do any gardening or growing?
I don't really do any gardening or growing.
Yeah, I've actually been having a lot of fun this year and in recent years with gardening. But this year, one thing I'm having a lot of fun with is I've been trying to grow food from food scraps. So you can take things like celery that has the base. So you can't do it if they've cut it already. But if it has like the base part that would be in the ground, you can sort of, when you cut off the top part of the celery, you can put that in a little bit of water and it'll eventually grow roots. And then, and you'll see like part of the celery starts growing out of the top. And then eventually you could plant it and get a whole new celery out of it. So I've been doing that with celery and romaine and scallion so far. And I've done a little bit with a potato, but that one I didn't get in the ground soon enough. So eventually it just became a plant. And then eventually I composted it. But it's really fun to see them grow out of a little scrap. Oh, and I'm trying it with an avocado pit too, because apparently you can get a pretty cool plant from that. I don't think it'll actually give me any avocados, but could be a neat plant to have. But I want to learn more about that. So I'm just kind of winging it right now.
Did you guys ever make pizza by yourself? But my brother made pizza by himself. It was so delicious.
Oh, nice.
And I had 39 pieces.
That's a lot of pizza.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually a really big pizza.
Well, one of the like fun gardening activities that people can do is to make a pizza garden. So you obviously don't grow the dough, but you can grow tomatoes and basil and maybe peppers or something, whatever you like to put on your pizza. And then you can have some fresh tomato and basil.
How do you even grow dough? But we can make dough with flour and water, mix in together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so you wouldn't grow the dough.
How do you even grow the dough? You know? Like, you have to put dirt and
in some flour.
Yeah.
Mix it together.
I guess if you lived on a farm, you could grow wheat and make flour.
Yeah.
But most people don't live on a farm. Yeah, making pizza is fun.
Like, I really wanted to help my brother make pizza, but one time I finally did, and I did everything. I, like, put it in the oven, and I turned it on. Like, first was cheese pizza, my favorite pizza. And I put, like, some tomato sauce, then I put some cheese in there, tomato sauce and cheese. Then I put it in the oven, and, like, And I asked my brother, like, what number should I do? And then my brother did it because I didn't even know what to do that back then. And then after it was done cooking, I turned it off and then I bring it out. Then it was too dangerous for me. Like, me and my brother cut it together.
Nice.
And then the first bite that I tasted was so good. And I, like, took a lot of slices, 39 slices. I couldn't help it. The pizza was so delicious.
Well, on that note, now that we're all really hungry for some pizza or some fresh produce from the garden, we're out of time for today. But we're glad you all were listening, and we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. So we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time. Until next week, happy reading.